I would like to thank the organizers for the opportunity to present at this conference. I'm planning to tell you how to. There's a problem of deformation of supersymmetric Young Mills theory, which appears in various branches of physics. In theory, in superstring, well, if you call it physics, in supersymmetric string theory, in theory debrains in this physics. So, Young-Mills theory is an effective theory for debrains, and in the process of computation of this effective theory. Strings give some corrections to classical Young-Mills action. And people were always curious what that is. And typically, it's very hard to perform string theory calculations because they involve integrations over moduli of curves, and it's a hard task. It's possible to attempt at least to circumvent this difficulty and search for all deformations of Young-Mills theory which are invariant with respect to supersymmetries. And the hope is that supersymmetry will choose for us right deformation. And this is my basic motivation. So this project was started about 5 years ago with our joint work with Albert Schwartz. It turns out that, I have a pretty good understanding what this deformation theory looks like. And it turns out that methods of non-commutative geometry play an important role in solution of this problem. But non-commutative geometry of different flavor than the one which was discussed here, and that non-commutative geometry, well, coordinates in the space also do not commute. But we prefer to think about these coordinates as matrix-valued coordinates. So they do not commute in a very strong sense. And this the algebras which appear in this setup are much closer to free algebras than to say algebras on non-commutative spheres. But still, this geometry. Quite rich and it's useful. Okay, I will be interested mostly in formal geometry, I'll explain in the end of the lecture, which means that we live in a small neighborhood of a point, and there will be no global issues. I need to give some basic definitions. So this is supersymmetric Young-Mills theory is a theory which has two types of fields. Gauge fields, so connections on some principle, trivial UN bundle, spinner fields. We have in dimension, so we are interested in 10 maximally supersymmetric Young-Mills theory in dimension 10. So therefore, we have precisely 10 gauge components of the gauge field and 16 components of spinner field. And so this is a standard formula for Lagrangian. And we are planning to deform that Lagrangian.
I think it's blowing out of the window.
Oh, I see. Okay. This Lagrangian has some number of symmetries. So there are standard symmetries called gauge symmetries. But there are some additional symmetries which are supersymmetries. Since we have so our manifold of fields is supermanifolds, it admits certain transformation which mix even and odd odd variables, and so these are these supersymmetries are odd vector fields, well, given explicitly by these formulas, and they are enjoy some remarkable properties. So first of all, there's also a notion of translation symmetry. Well, there is in flat R10, there is a translation symmetry of the time, and it can be lifted in covariant fashion on space of spinners and connections. Okay, so in these formulas we use various gamma matrices and tensors which can be used can be constructed from gamma matrices using contraction of indices. So one of the features of this theory is the following. So Lagrangian obviously is invariant with respect to supersymmetries, but supersymmetries they do not form. They generate some huge algebra, okay. But if you this algebra of vector fields, which is generated by supersymmetry, is tangential to space of critical points of Young-Mills functional, which are equations of motion. And on that space of critical points, space of solutions, moduli gauge transformation. They define action of finite dimensional algebra, supersymmetry algebra. So for those who do not remember what it is, here's an abstract definition. Okay. So this is in dimension 10, this is a super Lie algebra which has 10 even coordinate and 16 odd coordinates. So this the spin group acts on this algebra by automorphisms. They preserve the bracket on even part of just the action on fundamental representation, and on odd part, it's action on spinners, and there is only one non-trivial bracket, namely the bracket between between spinners. Well, this algebra looks very simple, but from experience of physicists, it's a constraint theory very much, and it often allows to solve theory completely. Okay. All right. So now let me formulate the problem. Make a precise formulation of the problem. So H will be a small parameter. Well, typically, it's to make connection with string theory, it will be like a string tension or something like that. So we want to consider deformation of Lagrangian local with respect to the gauge and chiral fields. Then Lagrangian should be invariant with respect to supersymmetry, this these vector fields, and with respect to deformed also gauge transformations. And so there is a nice there should be some compatibility relation between gauge transformation and supersymmetry transformations. And if you project the action of these vector fields on space of solutions of Euler-Lagrange equation modular gauge transformation, you get a proper supersymmetry action. Okay, and there is a weaker version of that problem, namely, we have to have supersymmetry transformation, this thetas, defined only on equations of motion, so only on those fields which are solutions of Euler-Lagrange equation. Okay, so I should say that this. So, what are the difficulty in the hidden difficulty in this problem? So, the so typically, if you have some function in a group, then so what's the easiest way to construct a new function? Just add the new function which is invariant with respect to the group to the function you started with. Here's the deformation. So unfortunately, we could not do it in our setup because off-shell, or in other words, for just arbitrary, if you consider theta on the entire space of fields, there could be no there could be thetas do not define do not close on finite dimensional Lie algebra. The other problem is that once you deform the Lagrangian, automatically the space of critical points of that corresponding action functional changes. Therefore, we need to change thetas, because otherwise there will be mismatch. They will not, so all thetas will not close on finite dimensional Lie algebra when you restrict it on equations of motion. So therefore, in this problem, you need to deform. You couldn't just keep theta fixed and, for example, delta fixed and change the Lagrangian. So it's this problem becomes, well, inconsistent. Okay.
There is one more trick, right? You can deform the algebra itself.
We can deform.
There might be h-bar corrections to the commutation relations for theta and whatever.
Yeah, that's right. It's also a possibility. That's right. Okay, and so we are planning to. So I'll discuss how to solve this weaker problem. Okay. Okay, so first of all, we need to discuss a possible form of the deformed Lagrangian. Of course, we're planning to add certain quantities to our original Lagrangian, and they look like this. So we take any field strength chi's, apply a bunch of covariant derivatives, multiply the quantities, and then take a trace. So it's convenient to define the sort of a grading or a weight of individual pieces which form this sum. So we define the grading by counting the number of covariant derivatives which appears in Y, and the number of chi's In first case, we multiply this quantity by, so degree of theta becomes equal to 2 and chi equal to 3. So for example, the weight of curvature, which is a commutator of thetas, will be equal to 4, because we are commute, so it will be 2 theta, so weight of curvature is equal to 4. Okay, and weight of the original Young-Mills Lagrangian is equal to 8, because we take a product of we take a norm of curvature. Curvature has weight 4, and when we square it, we'll get 8. Okay. So, there is a standard infinitesimal approach which I'd like to discuss briefly. So we start with Young-Mills Lagrangian, and we add certain terms to it. We also add certain terms of to supersymmetry transformation. And from a condition that supersymmetry should preserve the Lagrangian, we get this equation on critical points of on equations of motion of the theory. Okay, and there is a well-posed algebraic problem to somehow to describe or classify solutions of this equation. Count the number of solutions and find a formula for dimensions of this solution as a function of the gradient, which I discussed earlier. Okay, and we also need to take into account the possibility that we can make field redefinition in our theory and some Lagrangians which formally look different, they become equal to each other after a suitable field redefinition. So this is a problem, and it turns out that it's possible to solve this problem sort of completely. So we can form a generating function from these numbers, and so here's an ingredient which will be used in the formula for A. Psi of 10 is earlier function, defines the number of positive integer less than n that are relatively prime to n. Okay, and here's...
Is the grading compatible with the equations of motion? Because the equations of motion will mix different gradings. For example, equation motion will make something of grading 2 equals from grading 4.
Yeah, well, they will definitely mix. So this constant h will also have a gradient.
H has also a gradient.
Yes, that's right. So to make everything homogeneous, right. Okay. All right. So there are various formulations of that problem. For example, we can consider Poincaré invariant Lagrangian, or just only supersymmetric infinitesimal.
Actually, alpha tilde of t, what it was?
So we count the number of linearly independent infinitesimal Lagrangians, which are invariant with respect to supersymmetry.
This number of linearly independent, so it's basis dimension of the space of the.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, and so this is the formula. So well, the formula is turns to be quite long, and has certain pieces. So the main ingredient here is function a of t. A of t is given here. Well, it's a product of it's a sum of some polynomials, some rational functions, but most importantly, it contains some function, transcendental function B. So here's the formula for B in terms of psi function. So anyway, if you're interested in particular dimension, you just stick this formula into Maple, it gives you the answer. Okay, by the way, in order to prove this formula, well, we use some certain homological algebra, and Well, perhaps I'll we'll talk about this later. Okay. Now it's interesting to look at the first possible lowest and grading infinitesimal Lagrangian which you can add to Young-Mills Lagrangian. So this is the first one. Well, you don't need to well, just some formula. Well, it has degrees 16. So it's not very long, so it's pretty manageable. So the next one turns to be, well, there is only one Lagrangian in infinitesimal Lagrangian in degree 16. The next one is given here. So it's in quite in, well, for me it's intimidating. And well, as far as I know, people use some. So they look were searching for a solution of the equation of this infinitesimal supersymmetry condition using some indefinite coefficients method. So they managed to solve it. So here's the answer. So apparently this approach where with indefinite coefficients, it fails on the in the next step. So if you so there's you'll need to wait like forever to find all possible Lagrangians. So it would be very interesting to find a general formula for infinitesimal Lagrangian. And it turns out that such formula exists. Okay, we like to think about connections as a matrix value differential operator. So it has some constant term, d by dx, I, plus some matrix valued piece. Okay? So if y is a product of such operator, so we can take theta's chi, chi is a differential operator of order zero because it's just matrix valued function. Odd function. Okay. Then the product will also be matrix valued differential operator. You can take a trace. So it will take a trace of this operator. So it will be just ordinary operator. Okay. Now we can define an action of a certain transformation on the space of such differential operators. And here's the formula. So we take absolutely skew symmetric tensor in 16 indices normalized by this condition. You take our differential operator G, apply 16, we have the number of supersymmetry in the theory is 16. So apply all these 16 supersymmetry and then skew symmetrize. So the result will be also differential operator. Okay. Now suppose we started with a differential operator, which is a differential operator of the first order. So we started with commutators. And there are derivatives of this commutator, so on and so forth. Then, if you apply this transformation, you'll also get the differential operator of the zero order. You can treat this differential operator of the zero order as a Lagrangian. A simple claim that it will satisfy this the condition that it's invariant with respect to on-shell invariance with respect to supersymmetry. So next question, are these all, can we exhaust this way all supersymmetric, infinitesimally supersymmetric Lagrangian? And the answer is, well, we'll exhaust almost all of them. Okay? If you start with a differential operator of the second order, or this Laplace operator, okay, and apply that procedure, you, it just happens that you will end up with that infinitesimal Lagrangian which had very scary looking form, like very with a very long formula. Okay, and there is one more. Unfortunately, I don't know the coefficients A, B, and C, but modulo that, we have a full description of those infinitesimal Lagrangian. Okay, now the question is it possible to... so this is a problem of... so we completely solve an infinitesimal problem. So is it possible to solve this formal sort of globally? Yes.
If I commute two tetras, do I get the same algebra or I get correction? I
mean, at this point, since this is an infinitesimal problem, on infinitesimal level, no corrections. But on the global level, there will be corrections, and so I...
Super algebra is the same one as...
Yeah. Okay. So we need to... it's very common in deformation theory, and this is a problem of deformation theory. Typically people attempt to solve it this problem recursively. So they solve infinitesimal problem, then in order h equal to 1. They try to go to order h equal to 2 and so on and so forth. And then they encounter an infinite tower of obstructions. So at each level, passing from degree h equal to I to I plus 1, you need to solve some obstruction problem. And it seems that, a priori, it's not clear how to solve it. So this is a transcendental problem. Well, it's a linear problem, but it's very complicated. And it turns out that at this particular case, we can solve all this infinite series of obstruction problems because we have a different formulation of Young-Mills theory. It is through superspace formulation. So let us fix 10 pipe 16 dimensional superspace. So this is actually the same superspace which appears in, it's the total space of our supergroup. Okay. And we can consider also gauge fields, just ordinary gauge fields with values of in the unitary group. And we can try to solve this equation. So this is a curvature, this is a condition of vanishing curvature of the UN connection in the direction of in the direction spanned by d alpha. Okay. So d alpha generates some non-integrable odd distribution, and so if the curvature vanishes on this thing, so this is the equation. So it turns out that this solutions of this equation are one and one to one correspondence with solutions of supersymmetric Young-Mills theory. Actually, it's possible to identify not only equations of motion but the whole theory, whole theories. Sorry. All right. So, but now some algebraic varieties come into play. So now let's look at spinners which were odd as even space. It's a 16-dimensional vector space. It has 16 coordinates. And we can define a cone in this space by the set of equations. So we have 10 equations on 16 variables. So it might look that this is like a 6-dimensional variety. So, but this is wrong. So this some equations are redundant, and in fact, dimension of this variety is equal to 11. But it's not possible to, so locally you can express some of the equations in terms of another, but it's not possible to do it globally near the origin, near the singularity of the cone. Okay. So anyway, so we can consider algebra of functions on this cone. So we just mod out algebra of polynomials with respect to defining equations. And so we can rewrite our equation that the curvature in alpha beta direction is equal to zero, just multiplying on lambda alpha lambda beta on the curvature at this equation, because this is precisely, well, just it's easy to see that this set of equations is equivalent to vanishing of F alpha beta term. Okay. This equation looks very homological. So this is, so we have some operator which is squared equal to zero. And so there is a hope that it's possible to use some homological algebra to solve the problem.
Okay. Lambda equals zero.
I'm sorry?
Except lambda equals zero. These two equations are same except lambda equals
zero. Right. Yeah. Except. Okay. So we plan to deform our equation into equation of a more general form, so which is defined as follows. So we have considered just arbitrary set of polylinear maps from n tensor power of spinor representation into our algebra of functions on that 10-dimensional singular 11-dimensional manifold. Okay, so those linear maps has, well, we can find their coefficients in if we fix a basis here and here, then, well, this, so another way of writing this equation is this one. We just and perform summation. So this is our covariant derivative in direction of that odd distribution. From the form of the equation, it's more or less follows automatically that equations, this set of equations, is invariant with respect to the set of standard supersymmetry transformations. Okay. So what is not clear here is whether this will be a consistent set of equations, and so what about gauge transformation in this setup? So it turns out that it's possible, it's convenient to formulate the entire theory in BV formalism. So in the context of that particular model, the formalism looks as follows. So we can we identified our basic fields of the theory with some component of connection, super connection on the space. Okay, there is also so another ingredient in BV formalism is some odd odd form, odd symplectic form, which can be used to construct odd bracket. And in this case, such form is defined as a product. Basically, we take a product of two fields, because they sort of live in this algebra. And so this is C infinity functions on R10. And take a trace. Well, I don't want to discuss definition of the trace, but this algebra has a very admits a very non-trivial trace. Okay, and so this will be another ingredient of the of BV formalism. So the but in BV formalism there are more fields than in ordinary setup. So there are fields and antifields. So the antifields appear if you allow an arbitrary function of lambda, not just linear function of lambda. So if you allow functions of degree 2 in lambda, we get antifields. Degree 3 will be antigoths, and degree 4 and higher, they will be irrelevant to us because, well, if you start analyzing the symplectic form, you'll see you'll realize that it is degenerate, and if you mod out by the kernel, it will obviously becomes non-degenerate, which is necessary for definition of a bracket of the bracket. But all those higher fields they live in the kernel of that.
So you say to have symplectic structure, you have to cut the space of the fields.
Right. So just eliminate certain fields. Right, and well, degree zero components are the ghosts. Okay, so the BV equations of motion for supersymmetric Young-Mills theory can be formulated as a set of critical points of a certain functional, and the functional has Chern-Simons form. Okay, where so remember A is a function of x, theta, there's odd variables in our space, and lambda, and D. Is equal to d alpha lambda alpha. So this is just this looks like generators of super translation. Okay. So the critical points of that functional are precisely equations of motion. These are precise. So since we have a symplectic form, and S we have a symplectic form, then and Poisson structure, then we can use it to define a vector field Q. Just differentiating in a standard manner. Then we have just identical correspondence between the set of critical points of S and zeros of corresponding vector field. Okay. Then condition self-commutative
vector field Q is Hamiltonian vector field of S.
Yes, that's right. Then condition that S squared is equal to zero, it defines on the critical points of S, we can define effoliation, which is defined by differential of S at zero. And the orbit of this foliation, so the image of that foliation is precisely the image of differential of S defines as foliation on the space of critical points. And this foliation somehow, well, it's identically equal to the space of orbits of gauge transformation. So this is how we define gauge symmetry in this Batel and Vilkovsky setup. So therefore, it's convenient to bookkeep the gauge symmetry in this condition that S squared is equal to zero. Okay, so I have 10 more minutes, right? No. Something like that.
15.
Okay, good. Okay, so to deform equations preserving preserving gauge symmetry, we just deform this equation. So we deform Q. Okay, and so this deformed Q will look like this. Q is a vector field, so it has certain coefficients, and this is the form of coefficients, okay, where mu n's are not only, at the beginning we had mu n are maps from spinners to the power n into the space of functions. So here we extend this definition from mu n s to the power n into s, because s sits inside of space of function as the first component. Okay. And so equating delta so this thing to zero gives us the deform equations of motion. But the problem is how to find this mu, because mu's has to give us Q, which such that Q is equal to Q squared is equal to zero. So there's certain constraints on mu. Okay, and so here, so it turns out that there is a construction, algebra geometric construction, for these mu's, and I'd like to discuss this construction. So first of all, I need to tell you, well, very sketchy, what is A infinity algebra. So it's some generalization of differential graded algebra. In terms, well, in a sense, you can any differential graded algebra, any A infinity algebra, is equivalent to differential graded algebra. But sometimes it's convenient to work directly with A infinity algebra. So A infinity algebra is an algebra which has more than two standard operations. So standard operations, what are standard operations? Just multiplication, well, I ignore addition, and differential. These are two which are used in differential graded algebra. But there are higher operations of where you can stick three, four, and larger number of elements of the linear space. And those linear maps satisfy certain relations. So here's a formula for relations. So relations are quadratic in mu. Okay. If you assume that mu n's, where n is greater than 3, equal to zero, you'll get just ordinary differential graded algebra. For example, mu 3 is not equal to zero, then you'll get some modification of differential graded algebra. It will not be associative per se, but if you consider associator, difference between two ways of putting brackets, the results will be an operation which has three inputs, then this operation will be sort of homologically trivial. So there is a homotopy to zero. It's a differential over a certain linear map with three inputs. Okay, and this is a generalization of such construction. There is an alternative way of looking at this differential, at these structures, and the way is the following. So, suppose you have a vector field. So, a vector field defined on a linear space. Vector field is non-linear. You can specify a vector field by defining it Taylor coefficients. So we have sum of C I1 IK X IK Okay. So you can also define similarly a vector field on some superspace. So suppose this vector field Q define a vector field which is Q squared is equal to zero. So I'll get some number of equations which are some quadratic equations on C's. Okay. And this set of equations is some generalization of this set of equations. Okay. To be more precisely, construction is the following. You multiply your linear space A with the matrices of big size. Then you interpret these coefficients mu's as just ordinary coefficients of some vector fields on that linear space, and condition that Q this condition is equivalent that the operator Q you constructed this way it is nilpotent. Q squared is equal to zero. So anyway, so this is background about A infinity algebras. And so in my context, I have such A infinity algebra. So I start, it appears from algebraic geometry. So consider our cone C of Q and define its projectivization Q. On that form, on that vectors, on that manifold, 10-dimensional complex manifold, you can consider a space of zero p Dalbow forms, twisted by some power of Hopf bundle. Okay, so there is an obvious structure of algebra in this space, so you can. In the product indices P's and I's, they add up. Okay, and there's also differential, Dalbow differential. So you can use this, so there is a standard procedure of constructing, you can compute cohomology of this algebra X. And cohomology are easy to compute. So in dimension zero, you'll get our algebra S, this script S we started with, just holomorphic functions on the cone, polynomial functions on the cone. But there will be also non-trivial 10-dimensional cohomology. and the space of those cohomologies will be a dual to space of functions because of Serre duality. Okay, so in a sense, we have, so there is a pairing between 10-dimensional and 0-dimensional cohomology. You can think about this, about it as a symplectic form on the space of cohomologies. Okay, but there is also, if you have a differential graded algebra, there is also a multiplication on cohomology, and it's a standard fact in homological algebra. There is also infinity structure on cohomology, so there are higher operations. Okay, and I'll be using those higher operations to construct our mus. Okay, there is a way to construct those operations using it's technique comes from field theory. So if you perform certain summation of a trees using
The space was
11 dimensional. Q is 10 dimensional because we consider projectivization of it. So we mod out by the action of C star. Okay, so there is a procedure of building this A infinity algebra. And we get a bunch of new n's, polylinear operations, construct mu n's, defined on a smaller space. Okay, so what we can do, the simplest approach is just to restrict those new n's on smaller subspace. And this will not, we'll get back to our original Young-Mills theory. So restriction will give us just only mu 2, just multiplication on the space S. And if we recall how it's used in construction of that gauge theory, deformed gauge theory, we'll see that we've got thing we started with. So we need to do something with this news. And it turns out that there is one interesting thing we can do. Okay, so remember I was saying that our structure constants news can be interpreted as some odd vector field on space S plus S star tensor matrices. Okay, so since it's a vector field, what we can do, we can just take another vector field, can exponentiate it, and consider conjugation. Then, so what was the most difficult thing to do is to get a new d such that d squared is equal to zero. So in this case, d tilde will automatically satisfy d squared is equal to zero condition. Okay, but next problem appears. Is it possible to, so if you rewrite this formula in terms of twisted nus, will it be possible to restrict those nus on the smaller subspace? Because you see, when you restrict, there could be S tilde appear here. Okay, so this is some additional condition. And it turns out that there is a nice set of S which can be used to construct such a twist. So in terms of algebra S, consider a polylinear map from n tensor power of S to S dual. So it's so you can think about it as a map, so you can extend it by zero to a map from to other component S plus S tilde to the power n. Okay. And it will define a vector field, well, the same way as we define it here, so by multiplication of matrices. Okay, but this linear map should satisfy certain conditions. So one of them is this cyclicity condition. Okay. There is... almost there. Okay. I can formulate final result. So assuming that C satisfies the cyclicity condition, let's assume also that these sums are equal to zero. Then constructed mu n's define an infinity algebra on S. Okay? So this C will define, will parameterize infinite dimensional space in the space of deformations of infinity algebra structure on S. Okay? So it's also, this is a family of finite codimension in the space of all deformations. And it's possible actually to construct all deformations. So I just decided to describe the simplest one. Okay. So in the sense that we completely solve this weak formulation of the deformation problem. So we have, so we construct the Lagrangian side, all possible Lagrangians, which admits supersymmetry action on space of classical solutions for them, and which invariant with respect to appropriate gauge transformation, deformed gauge transformation. That's it.